Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
This is Abby Sundin interviewing Debbie Atwood on September 22nd, 2018 at the Midwest Genealogy Library. So, Debbie, what branch of the military did you serve in?
I served in the United States Marine Corps and in the United States Marine Corps Reserves.
Very cool. And what did, was there a specific thing that you did?
I was trained originally as an 0151, which is an administrative clerk, basically typing, filing, secretarial stuff, quote unquote women's work, right?
Yeah.
That was before, you know, all of the controversy about allowing women into combat and things like that. Mm-hmm. So women were kind of constrained to administrative support roles. Mm-hmm. But still, I got to do a lot of really cool stuff, so.
Yeah. What year did you start serving?
Yeah, I enlisted in 1983, okay. And I was discharged in 1995, so I served a total of 13 years, both active duty and reserve. And my first duty station was Washington, D.C., which was the headquarters for the Marine Corps, and I literally worked down the hallway from the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, who is the senior most enlisted person in the Marine Corps, and the Commandant of the Marine Corps also served in the same building that I worked in. I worked in the Department of Research, Development, and Studies, had a secret clearance, so if I told you stuff, I'd have to kill you. No. Anyway, my division department that I worked for was responsible for upgrading weapons and vehicles and uniforms and anything that had to do with Marine Corps improvements. And so constantly involved in that process and keeping those records flowing. One of my funniest stories, I worked for a one-star general and then later a two-star general. But the one-star general, I don't know if I should say his name. He lived out in the country, and his daughter was a second lieutenant, also serving in Virginia. I think she was at the Quantico base. But he would always leave before she would, and in leaving his country home, he ran over the family's cat. Not wanting to upset his daughter, who was going to be leaving right behind her, he put the cat in a hefty bag and put the bag in the trunk of his car, and he drove to work. Well, he needed to do something with the cat, so he came into my office, the office where I worked, and tapped two male Marines on the shoulder and said, "I've got a task for you." And the task was to get the cat out of the trunk and give it a burial. And then he was going to maybe tell his daughter that Fluffy ran away. And so it was a really hot day. And so my Marine counterparts went and did their duty, as all good Marines do. And that cat is buried in Arlington National Cemetery because we worked in the Arlington Naval Annex, which was right across the street from Henderson Hall, which bordered Arlington. So they hopped a fence and dug a hole in Arlington National Cemetery and buried the general's cat.
Oh.
And so if that's not incredible enough, when they came back, the corporal who went, he said, "I'm just glad the general didn't run over his horse." So
that's great. So why did you want to serve? Why did you sign up?
Actually, it's not really noble. A lot of people have noble reasons for why they wanted to go into the military. For me, I had graduated from high school. I went to college for 1 year and kind of washed out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have a future ahead of me. And right then, the military was I didn't have a driver's license. I didn't have work experience. So for them, the military was kind of the choice because I didn't want my parents to be burdened with a 19-year-old that didn't have a job or a future. And also, to be honest, I had my eye on a male Marine, so I kind of followed him. That didn't work out, but I got myself a Marine later on down the road.
Good for you. Okay, let's see. Do you have any regrets about your service at all?
I don't have any regrets at all. There are many times that I think that everyone who is able should serve the military for even a small enlistment period. It just builds a sense of camaraderie and makes you realize that you're part of something bigger. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no regrets. Sometimes I wish I could have stayed in longer, but that was not in the cards for me.
Yeah. What wars were going on and during that time that you served, and what was that like just being in the military during that time?
Well, I served in the 80s and 90s, so that was, you know, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, all that stuff was mm-hmm. going on at the time. When I first enlisted and was briefly stationed at Camp Lejeune while I was waiting to go to school, that was shortly after the Marine barracks in Beirut was bombed. So there was a lot of devastation. Many Marines lost their lives. So that was a difficult time for the Marine Corps. And then after that, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I was in the reserves at that time, and my unit was actually called up. We were scheduled to deploy, and we're getting ready to go right around the time the Iraqis surrendered and they called the ceasefire. So in the 11th hour, my unit got to stand down and we didn't have to go, but we were ready. So,
What was it like when you left the service? Like, how did that feel for you? Was there an adjustment period?
Well, it's funny how all that works, because I know that for some there is an adjustment period and it's different. It was hard to find a job. You know, the military definitely instills a lot of my way or the highway mentality, but we also learn a lot of leadership, and we are really mission focused on getting the job done. I don't think employers would do bad by hiring veterans. So finding a job was tricky, but I did end up working for federal service, and to further make it interesting, I ended up working as a civilian for a Marine Corps office at the Bannister Federal Complex, and then later transferred, got a promotion again as a civilian, but working in a public affairs office run by Marines. So it was hard for me to completely break ties with the Marines for a while. So they've always got a special place in my heart.
Sure. Are you active in any military groups?
I am not. There are some compadres from, you know, past duty stations that I keep in touch with. And my niece is a Marine Corps veteran. She married a Marine Corps veteran. And I've got other extended family that have served in the military. So there's very much a family legacy there. So we have my husband and I have my husband's also a Marine veteran, and we have a daughter who's 20 at home, and you know, she might be the next Marine. We don't know.
That's fun. Do you keep in touch with friends from time to time? I mean, you kind of said that already, but
yeah, I do have some close friends. You know, we lost contact, and then thanks to the joy of social media, Facebook, you know, we've reconnected and just picked up where we left off. So it's really cool to, you know, see what they're doing and how they're faring and things like that. So
very cool. What words of wisdom would you like future generations to know? That's kind of a big question.
Yeah, I think you just have to walk your own journey in life, whether it be to go into the military or not. And the military is definitely an option, but it's not the only option that you have. But if you're thinking about it, go Marines, hoorah.
Yeah. Why not? What aspect of your service had the biggest impact on your life?
I think one of the biggest aspects is just being given some room to run with an idea, some room to make improvements. Working in an administrative field, again, this is in the early 80s, so computers were not a thing so much. We had a Wang word processor when I first entered into the Administrative Office of Research, Development, and Studies. And while I was there, the whole headquarters, U.S. Marine Corps, got automated. You know, that was when they brought in some personal computers. We had floppy disks and all kinds of stuff. But I found myself, you know, learning about new technology and actually teaching people with doctorates and masters on how to use their computer and what to do when it froze up. So to me, that was super exciting to be on the forefront of that technological advance and you know, not being afraid to figure it out and to help others figure it out and to say we're all in this together and we can do this. And so we were able to do some cool things with technology even back in the day.
Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I can't think of anything.
All right.